Okay, this is private, more or less. Could I have some secret private room only for Patreons? Oh, why not? I don't know if I've been talking to my friends sometimes. Just to a few. I may have just mentioned lately, and speaking here into my voice recorder as well, maybe, that I realize I'm struggling a little bit with not some trauma, but you know, vritis, something there from the past that makes me a bit, there's some anxiety, there's some kind of nervousness and feeling that I'm not good enough, that I'm being criticized, that others are not satisfied with me, or that they want me going somewhere else, something like that. It's a feeling. And I mean, having worked as a hypnotherapist, you recognize that. Sure, of course. And it's kind of, to me, clear, rather clear, I think, and obvious where it comes from. But you know, that's how it was, it became. The funny thing is, I got this a bit from my childhood, because my parents never seemed to understand me or appreciate what I did or believe in me or anything, because I couldn't, you know. So I felt like an outsider there, same with friends. And then the Hare Krishna movement. Lots of mutual understanding there, same wavelength. Which I mean, I appreciate so much still today. But my humble analysis today, looking back, why, you know, what we did good and what we did less good, bad, and what we just, and the reason we have to say it is that when you do things bad, when you do things wrong, then people get hurt, and yourself too. I mean, that's just karma, you know, the usual thing. So when things don't work, then there will be feelings of dissatisfaction. Right now, things might work for some who are smart enough to make it work for them, grab control over things, maybe including people and money. And then the others, for whom it works then even less, because they are becoming servants or slaves of the ones up there in the mansions. So yeah, I mean, gotta face it, we lived in mansions, and those mansions are still standing, most of them. And there were fine rooms in those mansions. I mean, some more and some less. I mean, we didn't have much of that here in Sweden, but still, I was walking around both in the little finer chambers and the ones down there on the smelly ashram floors. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how groups develop, and we got so many new things, difficult things, four regulative principles. Oh my goodness. I was told about them day after I moved into the temple and given up my apartment and everything. I didn't know about those. Okay. And then the other million principles and do's and don'ts and all of that. So, and then you are supposed to be a good devotee. And you become that by doing all those things, following all those things. It's easy, you know. Well, to some, it was easy. I mean, for me, it was actually at least manageable. I don't know how. To some, it wasn't. And what happens in, and I read books about it, non-profit organizations, churches, and all kinds of, you know, philanthropic organizations, how to manage them. And when there is bickering, dissatisfaction, even fights among members, it's generally because the organization changed, it grew or shrunk or whatever, and the resources and the overhead, the work needed to manage it and so on, is not being fulfilled properly, not enough people, not enough cars, whatever. So adjustment is needed, and that's why they employ these consultants, I mean, these big organizations, to find those, you know, what's the problem here? And that's why we're talking like this as well, because this is a healthy process, starting with honest analysis. And I'm not sitting here giving all the final answers, but just trying to start up a dialogue, you could say. And it's not dangerous to just go clean and open and honest and fair among Vaishnavas, among devotees, right? Doesn't mean you're going public all over the world. So, this is for I guess a small group of devotees who can relate to what is being spoken here, and I'd like to hear your input as well, your feedback and your opinions. So get out there on YouTube, all of you. That's where we should be. But yeah, here I am, and someone could say, oh, you're walking around here thinking nobody likes you and there's something wrong with you. It's because you're thinking too much. You should just get out there, stop thinking and doing right now, and selling books on the street and working. Hey, we have a broomstick, clean the temple room floor, get off the mental platform. Well, that's how we handle it. it's a beautiful way of handling it, actually. Got people off drugs that way. But if you're being treated badly, or you're treating yourself badly, it may still hurt in there. Some are strong, some are less strong. I would say we are sensitive, all of us, really. And I'm like doing a week's private therapy here, me alone with my God, speaking like this now and then. And the guidance I receive, the help I receive, the healing I receive, it's very much about that you are okay, you're doing fine, good, great, just the judgmental thing there, the little voice that you heard so many times from spoken from outside. Yep, in your social environment, through your life, from parents and onwards. It may still be there. But look at your life. And I would say for those who sincerely just want to be God conscious, Krishna conscious, to be not just pious, but live life sattvic and nice and balanced and happy for yourself and others, but doing it not just for ultimate material gains. If I'm pious, I may get some money, but because this is the way life is, we are happy and satisfied by our nature. And all we need to do is to live according to our true nature. That's really what Sanatana Dharma is about. So it's beautiful, it's simple. Stay away from the shadow realms out there. Vices and become virtuous. And in that virtuousness is included, of course, staying true to yourself, God, Goddess and God. means includes all of us. That's what it's about. And for instance, this Krishna Consciousness Movement, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, founded by Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in 1967, was made for that purpose, to bring the members closer to each other, help each other to become happy in Krishna consciousness, and find nice friends, devotees of God. Oof, what nice friends. But you know, it's not just a matter, we took it a bit that way, the Western cultish way, that it's just a matter of now becoming a group member, receiving initiation, becoming authorized, believing in the right things, reading the right books. And you may recognize it from somewhere. Well, you can just look at your local mainstream state religion, whatever you have, and you'll probably find a little bit the answer there, because this is what kind of tends to happen. I mean, most of us, we of course we live much out there today, and we think of life and the world much in terms of things out there, looks and the dress and the doings and the positions and the titles and the all of that, the social life. Everyone believes in this in my group, so I must also believe in it. And another group says something else there over there. Each have their absolute truth. I mean, this is just the way it looks in the world. So that's one level of it. And it's a nice level as well. We can have a nice temple you go to on Sundays with your family or a church. Throw a little in the donation basket and yeah. Take part in some meditation. But then on the other side you've got the mystics. The strange ones. Sometimes living in hermitages. Hermits. Babajis, Avadutas, strange ones. I don't want to talk to you anyway. But I mean, I know both sides, so we need to have the room for personal peculiarities, or I mean individuality, and that's what it's about, that we're all individuals this way. But it's all about, as Srila Prabhupada very well stated by naming, the way he named this Society for Krishna Consciousness, it's simply meant for that, to make us God conscious in our daily lives, daily work, in our family life, our studies, our old age. a society, an interest group for like-minded people who want to be Krishna conscious. I mean, just yesterday I saw someone posted one of those long texts on social media, someone from Russia. Completely attacking another devotee, well, I guess some leader, local leader, even making nasty AI-generated picture of him and his wife. Who controlled him as a puppet and the whole thing there. Fights for position and influence and who's got the monopoly on the truth. And then war, maybe. Why not? Well, I guess it's time to sit down and read or watch the Mahabharata again. And when I do now, actually, I react every day to how relevant this old story is. These very days that we live in, it's as if it tells our story, just in another time setting. We've got much to learn. And that's what we're here for, right?